This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March all the months of the year.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Christ is born. Merry Christmas. My first heard these phrases given in the present tense. It was in a very small American Orthodox chapel. And it struck me as being both unusual that I hadn't heard the use of the phrases Christ is born or Christ is risen for Easter before in my life given in the service, but also that it was very appropriate. The story we celebrate is a living story, and we are a part of it. And when we reach this point of the story, Christ is born. The intent this day is the incarnation of the Redeemer, and it is something that really goes against the grain of a lot of contemporary thought. Who would have thought a century ago that one of the biggest movements, fringe religion at this point, would be the denial of the existence of any incarnated person called Jesus or Christ. But it is the case. And people, in order to free themselves from what they think of as the tyranny of the idea of an incarnated Redeemer, one that has been misused against them, seek to try to remove that incarnation and make Christ merely a hallucination, make Jesus a fabrication. Well, people can try to do all kinds of crazy things. They always have. They always will. But at the center of the waves and the ripples that are still rocking this world, something happened. A person was born. Details of the story, well, details across thousands of years and across different worldviews and different ways of understanding things. We're bound to quibble over details. We quibble over details of what happened last week or what somebody just said 5 minutes ago. So, this is not unusual. But that the world is still rocking from those waves is undeniable. That it still seeks do something to contain, to mitigate, to change what happened is undeniable. Whether we see this incarnation one way or another, something big happened. And people have been talking about it almost ever since. That something we yearn for, that someone who can aid us and guide us, was here, is an awesome thing. It is too much to comprehend in any direct and real way with our normal day-to-day minds and consciousness. It's too much. We can't handle it. Reminded of the really silly and overused line from a movie with Jack Nicholson, you know, you can't handle the truth. But we can. It's too much. The idea, the very notion that what we have sought for, what we seek, what we yearn with our inmost hearts, is in some way still here. That the echoes of words spoken to us about these things can still be heard. That's big. Doesn't get any bigger than that. From our point of view, regardless of how you might understand these things, we are a part of that story. We are riding those waves. contemporaries, people, can try to ignore them, try to pretend that they have a different cause. But when something huge happens in the world, people try to move in, sort of like a psychological, psychosocial disaster, and then the disaster containment crews will move in. And they will try to give this a particular spin one way or another, and say that this person, we were expecting a Messiah, and this is the Messiah. And this was what a Messiah means, and therefore try to contain it, try to put a boundary around it, so that none of that transformative effect leak out and transform us or the environment around us. One of the ways in which this has been done is in this abstract theological way, to claim that we know, as human beings, what all this stuff means, because we thought about it and we had a meeting a couple of times, and people who are really smart and kind of studied this stuff decided things, and so, hey, we know. We know who this Christ person is. We know all about him. We know what it means. It's all about getting into some afterlife that's much more pleasant than the alternative, the choice, the resort, or the nightmare vacation that doesn't end. And it's better to go to the resort. Or we can admit that we just don't know what we're talking about pretty big chunk of the time. And that when it comes to things of ultimate concern, it's almost entirely BS when people talk about it. It doesn't have gnosis to it. It's an attempt to contain it. It's an attempt to protect oneself from it. It's an expression of what Jung called religion as a defense against a religious experience. Something big happened. Big is scary. Something we don't understand that's big happened, it's even more scary. But it's the truth. And if we come up with easy answers, then we are falling into that age-old trap of for every complex, difficult, nuanced problem, situation, there is an easy solution or explanation that is clear and simple, makes perfect sense, and is absolutely wrong, because that's not how these things work. They have to be confronted in reality. They have to be confronted in our lives. Try to shove them off into mental space, into the same kind of mental space where we conduct our arithmetic, balance our checkbooks. And then come up with some bottom line as to what these things mean. Well, you can do that. We've done that many, many times. But what does that leave us with? Leaves us with pretend. The end score of a game of let's pretend. Reality is much more complex. And it always involves us. We cannot shove it off somewhere else. Solve it like a problem. We are a part of it. We are a part of any participation, any solution, any understanding. We cannot be removed from it. The way in which we as human beings have tried to deal with this incredible event we celebrate this day is by shoving the nature of Christ, nature of Redeemer, what we think he meant when he said things, explaining all those out, putting them into categories, and pretending we understand. We don't. The Gnostic tradition has always pointed to the need to understand these things for oneself in a direct way. Without experience, there can be no gnosis. Without understanding, without consciousness, can be no gnosis. You cannot have gnosis of somebody else's gnosis. It isn't transitive. You can't borrow a cup of gnosis. You can borrow a cup of theology. You can borrow an entire worldview. Gnosis you must attain for yourself. That means facing the awesome mystery, the unsolvable problem, the inexplicable presence in this world, something so big, so important, so deep, so profound, so transformative. We don't even have the whole of it. We have really scanty reports about Christ, about his teaching. And even that is more than we can handle. And that points us to the incarnation of the Redeemer. For we have what we have from that time, from that teacher. We also have the effects of the waves and ripples out. We have those who were transformed, who reported their understanding. We are privileged in this age to have so many texts that were lost, that were hidden, that were thought gone forever. We have access to them. And from those, we can gain insight and understanding, not just to some ancient time and what ancient people understood. We can gain insight and understanding into ourselves. Reading a text translated from Greek into Coptic, from Coptic into English, text was written in an entirely different milieu, an entirely different worldview, and transform us if we engage with it. We enter into it. We do not hold ourselves aloof from it. For that is what most people do with all things religion, even people whose lives are spent dealing with these things. We view Christ theoretically, theologically, as a hallucination or as a fiction. We are holding ourselves aloof. We are better than whatever this other thing is because we can understand it. We can explain it away. We don't have to enter into a relationship with this person. And we can even use the words of relationship to avoid a relationship. We have our own personal Jesus, rather than the one that everyone shares in common. Well, you can try to do these things, but how far will you get with just your own resources? Without looking at and trying to understand and comprehend the great treasures that he has given us, and the wealth that has accumulated since then. For in another way, even though so much has been lost, what remained was like an investment. It's grown. Those who have been transformed, have transformed others, have given us so much in addition to that which has survived. There are centuries upon centuries of people who have explored these questions truly, who have engaged with them. They have given us art, literature, texts. They have given us so much. And we have even more, great abundance. We were, shortly after a lot of these texts were lost, after apostles and students who passed on oral traditions were forgotten, we would be much poorer. We stood at the beginning of the Dark Ages, we would be so much poorer than we are now. We are not. We have received a great deal. And so the Redeemer has been incarnated in other forms, in art, in music, in literature, in images, in poetry, in the hearts of so many. And we can gain from that as well. This takes us to the ultimate and most important part of incarnation. And that is the Redeemer, the Divine, is to be incarnated within us. That is our purpose in life in this world. Within us there is a seed of light. And our goal, Our purpose is to tend that seed, to cultivate our inner garden and grow it, to become a place of incarnation for it. The indwelling Christ, Christ within each of us, can be distant or close. But ultimately, if we are fulfilling our most important purpose, our deepest identity, then that Christ is incarnated in us. We become Christ-like. We don't just merely receive from the incarnation of the Redeemer in this world once, or in the expressions of many people. We turn about and can give. And that is the highest mystery, highest attainment we can achieve in this world, is to incarnate that redemptive power within ourselves. We can't do that merely by wishing, by dreaming, by proclaiming it to be so. We must first learn to serve that Redeemer, become true servants, liberated servants, those who choose this path, choose the light, choose to provide the light to the world. So on this day, we have reached through the darkness, through the dark time of the year. We've come to the point when the light has been born again into the world. Let us recognize all of these levels of the incarnation of the Redeemer and keep them with us. To serve, to understand, to attain gnosis, and to fulfill our destiny. That is the purpose of all of this. And that is the greatest gift we could ever receive through all the worlds and possible universes we can imagine. And it has been given to us. We have it. We merely must live out our lives accepting that gift. And we celebrate today, the day when the greatest form of that gift has been given to us. These mysteries, teachings, these ways of transformation in this path to Him, to Christ, and to ourselves. So may the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth descend upon us, remain with us always. Amen. The Gnostic calendar features the liturgical year of the Ecclesia Gnostica and many additional holidays and dates of interest. With original artwork by a Gnostic priest, the Gnostic calendar is truly one of a kind. Get yours today at gnosis.org/calendar. That's gnosis.org/calendar.